on a light and wrap up tight, because it's...
And yes, that little laugh right there at the end was none other than the Funky Werepig passing over the show to us. And you got me, EW, and my wonderful, wonderful sidekick, co-host, the amazing... You ready? Jazzy, yes. I am saying Jazzy. You know, she's right there in the chat room. You see her.
You know, EW, I think it's the guy sitting behind me in the movie theater just breathing down my neck that creeps me out the most.
Is it that?
Yes.
See, for me, when the guy's breathing down my neck, I just thought he was just trying to be fresh. I didn't know it was... You know how they are.
But, okay, was the guy breathing down your neck being very sweet about it, or was he going, because that's what I had.
Well, I don't know. There was a little bit of slobber, but, you know, foreplay, I guess. Hey, guys, we got an awesome show for you tonight. We're going to add right now to the conference, to the call. Yes, the one that Greg is really afraid of. And we got to get this down to the story of this. But we have none other joining both Jazzy and I, Miss Lori Titus.
Hello.
And there she is. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm feeling like I'm really tiny right now. After such a great show before this one, I think it's time to drop the mic and say I've had it. Too good of a show. I laughed so hard, I actually had tears in my eyes.
Yeah, it was fun. I was listening too.
Do you know, I'm kind of disappointed. You know, somebody was asking Wednesday when you were on Free Pie Night, who your favorite guest was. And then this same person was talking about people they're going to have on the show, all these wonderful authors and producers and directors.
Right.
Do you know I never got mentioned?
Oh, that's not good. I thought maybe he talked to you in private about it. I just kind of assumed.
He doesn't want me on the show.
Oh, no, that can't be it. It must have slipped his mind.
Slip in the mind. Okay, I'll let him slip in the mind for right now.
You know,
now.
He's a shape-shifting creature and changing over, you know, from his normal self to the werepig creature. Maybe it just didn't translate.
It could be that. What do you think, Jazzy?
I think he'll think something up.
You'll think of some excuse.
Yeah, right. He'll be like, but you're not a Dunwoody. Yeah, you're right, I'm not. Okay.
Aww. Kind of like how you didn't get your pie last week.
Yeah, what's up with that? I didn't get pie.
I don't know. Did you get it yet?
No, I still don't have no pie, but I got a hot cup of coffee.
Aww.
Is it a werepig mug?
No. It's actually a paranormal mug.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, so there. I feel good.
You feel loved.
I feel loved.
Yes, you must feel the love from your people.
At least, you know, I don't bring on guests who have interesting sound effects when they come on the air.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you missed...
Uh-oh, did I miss sound effects?
Oh, you guys missed it. Yeah, you're going to have to wait until you get the podcast of the Funky Werepig, because when I said I was in tears, it was because of the interesting sound effects.
Oh, that's never good. Or should I say that's never kosher?
Let's just say it was one of those ones that... I've had some crazy things happen on the show. I mean, we've had some really wild stuff happen, but I've never had that happen. So that's a first.
Oh, wow.
That is a first. Whew. Okay. So, hey, yeah. Well, we're going to be talking paranormal tonight. I mean, really getting deep into the paranormal because, you know, there's crazy things out there. And not only have we talked about authors today, but we got you, Lori. You're an author.
Mm-hmm.
And you write about paranormal.
Yeah, I do. And for whatever reason, it's my favorite thing to write about. I've done lots of other kind of work. When I first started writing, I had a thing for sci-fi. And I used to write little mysteries, but somewhere along the way, I just fell in love with things that are supernatural and creepy and haven't really wanted to write anything that didn't have some kind of twist to it.
Right. So, well, Jazzy had this wonderful question, and I mean, it was so good. It's one of those ones that I just can't even bother asking. I'm going to give it to her because it was that good.
Oh, cool.
So go ahead,
Jazzy. Oh, wow. Put me on the spot.
it's all right. Go for it.
EW said you had a new book coming out. What was the new book?
The new book is called Hunting in Closed Spaces, and it's the first novel in the Meredith Ryder series. The story is based on a teenage girl who is living a normal life and finds out that she's not completely human. And it's something that's been hidden from her entire life. But, you know, things go awry when people start coming after her because of the powers that she possesses. So once that happens, everything gets into gear and she has to find out what exactly she is, what exactly her background is, and how she can defend herself against the creatures that are coming after her.
Cool.
Yeah.
So,
sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to ask with the one question, where did the paranormal interest come from?
You know, I grew up in a house full of horror fans. My mother and my sister both were horror fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
We watched scary movies every weekend. I remember my mother in particular was very, you know, for the time that she grew up, was pretty hardcore with it. If there wasn't something kind of strange about it, you know, she really wasn't interested in it that much other than maybe soap operas. But everything in our house had to do something with ghosts or witches or, you know, zombies. Those were the kind of things that we liked to watch. And my sister was a big Edgar Allan Poe fan, and she would read things to me, you know, from him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Grimm's fairy tales and those kind of things. So I was spoon-fed on scary things as a kid.
Cool. So what are your, let's start off with what are your beliefs in the paranormal? I mean, how do you view the paranormal?
Well, that's a good question. I am kind of on the fence about the paranormal. You know, some people believe in ghosts and, you know, that they've seen things and experienced things from other realms. And though I won't ever tell somebody, well, you know, that's absolutely not true, there are some stories that I believe more than others. For instance, there's always people that say that they felt a presence of someone in a house, or, you know, maybe felt close to a loved one who's gone, those kind of things. That I would be more inclined to believe than stories about somebody who they woke up and suddenly all the dishes in their house were flying around and hitting walls, and, you know, suddenly their child was possessed by the devil and was spitting out pea soup and stuff like that. But if you told me that maybe someone could be influenced by something that was evil, that was outside of themselves, I would be more inclined to believe that than think it would manifest itself in such a sort of blatant way.
Right. Awesome. Somebody has their, I can hear the station in the background.
Yeah, I believe that would be me. I've actually been trying to mess around with it and get the volume down, but my page over here is stuck, so I do apologize.
Oh, no. So that means if somebody wrote in the chat room and said how much they like your books, you're going to miss it?
No, I can see the chat room, but the volume controls on my computer.
Oh.
It's like I can't pull them up, so they're stuck where they were.
Do you see the player down underneath the Parasite Radio ad?
Let's see. Hold on.
If you just click on that, you can click the pause, or there's a little volume control right there to the side.
Yeah. Okay.
Dun,
I think I've got it.
I don't hear you echoing.
You don't? Okay, good. Okay.
Sorry, I had to get a cup of coffee, or drink a cup of
no,
coffee.
No, that's all right. I'm glad you were just getting coffee, because I was like, oh no, he's waiting for me!
No, no. There's so many questions in the paranormal that a lot of people mm-hmm. have that, you know, when somebody writes about it, some have their experiences, some don't, and some actually believe they're more from their dreams. Where mm-hmm. do you write from? What area actually just brings out your story?
Well, there's two things. First of all, dreams are a great way to come up with stories, especially for something that's off kilter, that's not, you know, ordinary happenings, you know. So I do get a lot of ideas from dreams. But also, I like to play the what-if scenario. And, you know, the what-if can be just about anything. For instance, I think everybody's been in a relationship with someone where they have that feeling like they're so connected, they can, like, read the other person's thoughts. And you throw the what-if in there, well, would that help or hinder? If you could really hear this person and they could hear you mm-hmm. and you had no way to control what they heard, they just heard whatever you thought.
Right.
You know, things like that. I like to think about how the world is and try to envision it in an opposite way, mm-hmm. you know. And so that can be a lot of fun. And I don't know, just in general, I think there is something that is just very mysterious and sort of compelling about things that are unknown.
Right.
So I always look for those things and try to push the envelope of just how strange can it be. And, you know, okay, so you think this person is crazy. Maybe they really are hearing voices.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're hearing somebody who's miles away from them, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, just try to make it fun and hopefully interesting for the reader and not just the same thing that everybody has, you know, talked about before.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what would you say is probably your most, I guess, your favorite story of them all, the one that stands out in your mind the most?
My favorite story of everything that I've written?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. That's a hard one because for me it changes too. I'll have some days where I'll feel like, say for instance, Meredith is a favorite thing. I have a new story that I'm writing right now, and probably tonight that's the favorite thing because I just went back over it
mm-hmm.
a couple hours ago and I'm happy with the last chapter that I wrote on it.
Right.
So it does change. I know there are certain stories that have more of a personal connection for me because of either the way I came up with the idea or something that was happening, you know, during that time. I have a short story called Greenwater Lullaby that's kind of a favorite for me because it's actually, in a way, a little bit more of a romance rather than a heavy paranormal story,
mm-hmm.
even though there is some of that in there. And I think it's kind of a favorite because of the setting and the couple that are in it.
Sorry. So, let's see. You've got... Oh, how many books are you... how many books do you have going out right now? I mean, you've got... I know you've got the thing on the websites, your story there. But how many books do you currently have out right now?
I currently have 3 books. I have 2 novellas, one called Lazarus, which is a zombie story set in old California. There's another novella called Haley's Shadow about a young woman who's been institutionalized because she sees things. that these things are actually real, and she's trying to prove, you know, that what she sees is she's not just imagining. I actually have more work that is due to come out. I have 2 more completed novellas that I'm looking for a publisher for.
Right.
I have the current book that's going to be out, which I'm going to self-publish. And then I have my other little ghost story that I'm finishing that I was writing for Nano. Mm-hmm. The one that I mentioned before. So I have a lot of things that are going to come out next year.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's been an exciting time, and it's funny because, yeah, all of them have some ghosts, some monsters, something going on.
Have you had any personal experience of seeing ghosts or spirits yourself?
You know, I've never seen anything, but I have felt, you know, a presence before. And it's funny because it's one of those things where you feel like your mind is playing tricks on you, but on the other hand, you don't really believe that. You really believe something is there. And, you know, you do hear so many things that people tell you about, well, you know, I felt this person was here, or, you know, something strange that really couldn't be easily explained away.
Would you ever want to go on an investigation?
Now, see, this is the thing about investigations. I don't really necessarily believe in stirring things up. I feel if there's a spirit or an entity that is someplace, there's a reason for it to be there. And especially if it doesn't have anything to do with me, I don't think it's my business to go messing around with it. I do understand, you know, people that may live in a house where they feel it's haunted, they would want somebody to come in and, you know, see if something could be done about it. But for myself, if it doesn't concern me, then I don't want to, like, go there and maybe have something come home with me.
Would you say you'd have a psychic touch or empathic touch?
I would say empathic. I think that I try anyway, especially as far as writing, to understand how things feel for someone else. And I think, and it's funny you should say, because there is a very thin line between being empathic and being psychic, I think. Being psychic is just pushing it slightly to that next level. But depending on the person and depending on, you know, how you feel that you can connect with them and, you know, understanding them, you can feel that in a way as well.
All right. So on you saying that you're on the empath side, do you actually say that you really feel more than you do with maybe a vision or something?
Yeah, I would say my thing is, I think of myself anyway as a good judge of the way people are, regardless of what they show to you. And of course, you know, being human, you always have those times when you go, oh, wow, I didn't figure out that one.
Right.
But, you know, I tend to think of myself as somebody that just kind of watches and listens to what people say. And sometimes it's just listening to what they don't say.
Right. So
because it lets you know.
Here's the real tough question. Now, this is one that's gonna be the hard one, okay?
Okay.
Brace yourself.
Okay.
Would you consider yourself scary?
Now, see, this is the
you
thing
know where I'm
because
going with this.
I don't consider myself scary at all. I consider myself your average girl next door, really. But that said, people tell me that I am scary. And I really don't know why I wear normal clothes. I don't, you know, I'm not particularly goth or, you know,
right.
I don't walk around with 20 crosses on or anything like that. But I've had more than one friend tell me that I'm scary. But I think what it really is my work is scary. And they can't quite understand how I come up with some of the weird things that I do. So they're like, yeah, you're scary, because I would not have expected that from you.
Now, we know that there's this crazy little piggy that's running around, and he's got this interesting nickname for you.
Yeah.
So, we gotta hear the story. Why T-Rex?
You know, that is a good question. Greg and I were talking over the phone, I think it was a couple weeks ago, and he just out of the blue just calls me T-Rex. And I say, why? He's like, because you're scary like the creatures in Jurassic Park.
Wow.
I was like, really? A dinosaur? I was like, can the T stand for Titus or something? I mean, but yeah, so that's one of his new pet names. He named me and my partner on the on our radio show. He named us the Laverne and Shirley of horror radio. So yeah, so T-Rex is the new one now.
Why don't you tell everybody about your radio show?
Oh, yes. Well, we have a show called Flashes in the Dark. My co-host is a lovely lady named Tonya Brown, a fellow writer friend of mine who writes horror and steampunk. And together we have a radio show where we interview authors and publishers and anyone, you know, interested in sort of creative fields. We have artists for two, you know, every now and again as well. And we are going to be moving over to the cafe next month.
Yay!
Yes, so we are excited. We're going to be coming on Sundays at noon Pacific time, and I believe that's 3:00 Eastern. So, you know, we're just hoping to come on over to the TMV Cafe family and have fun.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, why Flashes in the Dark? What is it all about?
Sure.
What does the title mean, I guess?
Well, the radio show was actually named for my website, which is Flashes in the Dark, which features horror flash fiction. My friend Tony Smith actually came up with the name for the website. He owned it before I did. And when he decided that he was going to pursue other projects, he gave me the website. So I've been running it the last couple years as the editor. So Tony and I actually started out working for Sonar 4 Publications. We were both editors there. We had never met each other. And Tonya was on the show with another lady named Shells Walter. And Shells got to the point where she decided she wasn't going to be able to be on the show. So rather than just take it off the air, she put out an ad and asked for people, you know, if anyone would be interested to host the show. Mm-hmm. So I wrote her and she wrote me back and the rest is history. So we were Sonar 4 for a while, but then after we had kind of established ourselves, we relaunched the show under the name Flashes in the Dark.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're about at that break time, and I'm not getting a cup. But what we are going to do is we're going to hear some words from our sponsors and do a little musical break, and we'll be right back with more Lori Titus as Jazzy goes gets herself a cup, baby.
Yeah, you have to have coffee.
Oh, no, that's not what it's for.
Oh, okay, never mind. I missed that one.
Anyway, yeah, well, I could put it on speaker, or I mean on the microphone. I'm sure it would be just as great.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so you guys are listening to Paranormal right here on TMV Cafe, and we'll be right back here in a minute.
Discover 19 extraordinary stories ranging from dark fantasy to science fiction and steampunk. Alan Gilbreth has created a stimulating collection of possessed raccoons, doubtful demons, secret potions, hellish mornings, murderous black holes, dangerous missions, miniature dragons, fake vampires, real ducks, and a cranky detective. Alan Gilbreth, a short story collection, is available at better bookstores everywhere and online at K-E-R-L-A-K, KerlakPublishing.com.
We're having an ebook sale for bookworms. 100 ebooks with 5-star reviews are on sale now at Twilight Times Books. Our ebooks are priced from $1.99 to $3.50 from twilighttimesbooks.com and also from our ebook distributors, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble, until New Year's Day. Historical, mystery, paranormal, science fiction, fantasy, and more. Book lovers, break into a good book today.
Society, God's gift to ballroom notoriety, and I always fill my ballroom. The event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls. I've got big balls. They're such big balls, and they're mighty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. My ballroom always full, and everybody comes and comes again. If your name is on the guest list, no one can take you higher. Everybody says I've got great balls of fire. I've got big balls, and I've got big balls. They're such big balls, dirty big balls. And he's got big balls, and she's got big balls. But when they're held for pleasure, they're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big ball should be held every night. Oh, we've got big balls!
This detective series by Stephanie Osborne is a science fiction mystery in which Dr. Sky Chadwick discovers alternate realities populated by those we consider only literary characters. In Continuum 114, a certain Victorian detective should have died at the Reichenbach Falls. Sky intervenes, and Sherlock Holmes flies through a wormhole to our universe. Here he must adapt to the 21st century. Book 1, The Arrival, is available from Twilight Times Books and wherever fine books are sold.
Murder, mystery, and amazing steam technology come together to give you a dark taste of the prim and proper Victorian age. This steampunk anthology teases your imagination with the fantastic and makes dreams seem like reality. These 25 incredible stories will take you to a time in history when proper etiquette, crazy inventions, and scandal reign supreme. Dreams of Steam 2 Brass and Bolts is available at better booksellers everywhere and online at kerlakpublishing.com.
Hey, this is Dan Aykroyd. You are listening to
Paranormal.
That's right. We're right back here with Paranormal on none other than the TMV Cafe. And I'm still joined with my wonderful co-host, Miss Jazzy.
Hello.
Did you get a cup?
Yes, I got a cup.
And then, of course, our wonderful guest for the night, Lori Titus. And I want to give a special shout-out to the man in the chat room. You know, that one right there, the one that's playing like he can't be seen. Alan Gilbreth is in the house.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
That's right. Everybody tell Alan hi and tell him you want the mortal vampire out soon.
Absolutely. What's the holdup?
You know, publishers, they want to make sure it's perfect, and I accept that. I like the perfect parts.
Yeah. It's a hard job.
I know. He just likes to sit. I think really what he's doing is he's trying to make me sweat. He's probably sitting back laughing, saying, you can stand to lose a pound or two.
Right. Like it was already done a couple months ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's just sitting there looking pretty, and he's like, this guy's going to sweat.
Aww.
And back twirling his thumbs, whistling like he didn't really do it.
Yeah.
That's the man.
He speaks.
Ah.
I know.
But I do want to mention that we are starting the Adventures of the Squirrel of Mass Distraction. That's that cute little guy right there to the left of your chat room. I don't have the link set up to that right now, but you can go to curlackpublishing.com on the merchandising and purchase yours today. You can go to the fan page, TMV Cafe's fan page, which is at facebook.com/TMV Cafe. Like us, and then get ready to follow the journeys. We want you guys as fans also to literally send in your pics. Post them on the fan page. Please keep them clean, though. Because we got people of all ages. Believe it or not, we actually have listeners between the ages of 13 to 80. So, you know, you got to remember, there's going to be some young ones. And I don't want somebody going to their parent and their parent contacting us later saying, Mommy, why is that squirrel? Yeah. Anyway.
Why is that squirrel in unsquirrel-like positions?
What position is that squirrel doing? Is this a Kama Sutra position? I just don't know.
Those don't really look like walnuts.
Oh, wow. Well, we always knew the squirrel was looking for a nut, just not that one. But we will get some, us as hosts have already got ours, and we'll be getting pictures up here pretty soon for you, and you'll see the adventures of it. And I'm challenging people around the world. So you guys that are listening to us overseas, we know there's great people listening overseas from Great Britain, Sri Lanka, New Zealand. I mean, man, we've got England. I can't even name all the places. That's how many people are listening to us overseas. We love you guys. So we want to challenge you guys as well. Help this squirrel travel around the world. Let's see some pictures of this bad boy in some places that people would just dream of going. This is
I want to see the squirrel with the koala bear.
Oh, that would be an awesome picture, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Miss Australia, all you Australian people, if you're listening to the show via podcast or live here on the air, we want you to get that squirrel and show us a picture of that squirrel with an koala bear. This would be an awesome picture. I've already got...
I have some with some... My squirrel with some rabid kids. Does that count?
Wow, did the squirrel live?
That'll work. The rabid kids are cute.
They are.
Look, this one's drooling. That's not drool. Get away from it.
No, that's okay. One of my friends actually calls her daughter Chucky.
Oh, Lord. That's bad. You know, this reminds me, though. Something went wrong with our washer. The plumbers came, they snaked the line, but unfortunately, it's still, the water backs up for some reason, so they're going to start looking into that. So we went to the laundromat today. This is hilarious. I saw these two mothers who are sitting there, there's like five kids running around screaming and all, you're just like wanting to pull your hair out. Mm-hmm. And this one just started getting really bad. And I saw these two ladies talking, and they're like, I don't spank my child. And, you know, they're talking about this timeout, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, really? All of a sudden, this one kid that's acting really bad, the mother got up, popped this kid in the backside. Can you tell me how many of those kids were behaved after that?
Uh-huh.
Every single one of them, including the parents, even the ones of the parents who said, we don't spank our children. Guess who did not want to learn what a spanking was?
Right. And if you had you're afraid. Yeah.
Yeah. It was interesting. I remember growing up, if you see kids screaming and the parents dragging the kid out, you know somebody was about to get their butt whooped.
Yeah, exactly. You'd hear them crying in the next couple minutes.
I remember parents saying, you want a reason to cry? I'll give you a reason to cry.
I remember just getting a look and, okay, better stop.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing you say that because, you know, it's funny how a child knows the look. A parent can give the look, and it's like, they're perfect.
Yeah, it's true. Because your mom would give you that look, and it was like lasers were shooting out of her eyes. You knew.
Right? Who was it says that their mother had this sonic ears that they could hear them acting up, and then they had the high heel shoes that were like boomerangs, you know, it was just and comes right back.
Yep, exactly.
The and best you know part what it was when the parents didn't know they were giving the look, and you're like, what'd I do? What do you mean? You gave me the look! That look right there! Stop it!
My dad would, when he would give the look, he wears glasses. So if the glasses were down towards the tip of his nose and he was looking up over his glasses, you knew you better act straight or you were in trouble. He still does that too.
It's a he still acts up
enough to get the look.
Oh no, he can do it over Skype, but I keep telling him your hand can't reach through that computer. But I mean, it's just a funny thing. This is where I ask about some years about a year ago. I think we did a show on. You know, everybody having a psychic touch or some kind of psychic bone in their body. You know, you've heard about parents who can know that there's something happened to their child and they're not in the same area. Like I've heard about mothers who just all of a sudden call their child, you know, they're in New York and they call their child in California. Oh my God, what happened? How'd you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I have a good story like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have a family story like that. Didn't involve me, but this was something that I was told growing up.
Okay.
My uncle was a veteran in the Korean War. And so.
Hats off to him.
Yeah. He ended up getting a Purple Heart. He was injured. He was driving a Jeep and they drove over something, some kind of little roadside bomb.
Right.
And, I remember he told me this story that, you know, he felt himself flying through the air when they hit it. And he screamed out for his mother.
Wow.
And he said after that, everything was just blackness. So the same night, his mother, my grandmother, wakes up screaming, wanting to know what happened to her son.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, back in those days, it was a few days before they actually came and was like, well, you know, your son has been injured and we're going to have to send him home and he's really bad. You know, he had head injuries and all this.
Right.
And I'm told she was just like a mess. It took a week for her to find out. And she was like on pins and needles and hysterical the whole time because she just knew something was wrong with her son.
Wow.
So, yeah, those kind of things do happen. That was quite creepy.
Right.
I
can't say I've ever experienced anything like that, but I've heard so many different stories over the time that it still makes me wonder. You know what I mean? Because they call it motherly intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This begins to make you wonder. There's this connection from birth all the way till you're older.
Right.
Now, I've heard stories, you know, going through church, I've heard stories there how all of a sudden parents would just feel like something's wrong with their child and they break out into prayer and later find out that something really was happening. This begins to make me wonder, what is the connection when you go when you get to the psychic portion? But it's not just there. It's happened in friends as well.
Yeah, I know a couple things that happened to me that were weird. Now, I had...
meeting Greg is always weird.
No, I know I had a sister that was ill, and I just got up one morning and had the feeling I had to go see her. And, you know, was just upset, like I just had to go see her. And when I went to go see her in the hospital that day, she had just flatlined.
Whoa.
And they were like, oh, you got here. And I just remember running through the hospital. And, you know, I hadn't been able to get in touch with her doctor, but I hadn't heard that anything had happened, you know. They hadn't gotten a hold of me, and I guess they called me while I was on the way, you know, to the hospital.
Right.
But she didn't die at that time. They revived her and everything. But I'd say that was probably one of the creepiest things that ever happened to me, because I was just upset. I just had this really strong feeling something was wrong with my sister.
Wow. You know what I think I'd love to do? Excuse me. I'd love to get a show where we just kind of... I'll tell you what. Let's do this. We'll put this challenge out there for everyone right now. Take the time, write to TMV Cafe. It's tmvcafe@gmail.com. Send your emails in. Tell us stories like that, and we'll share them here on the air. We'll do an actual show dedicated to all that. And I would love to get... Now, I know we've got one guy we're going to try to bring on with a couple of the hosts from Dangerous Minds. And we're going to talk about near-death experiences because of an incident that happened recently during Thanksgiving. But I want to take, I would love to find another person who would have experience in that area and have them on the show with that as well. So if anyone out there is listening and would like to be a part of that, contact us at the email and or even at the fan page, and we'll be glad to get everything scheduled up and do that. What do you guys think?
That sounds like fun.
Really interesting one.
Yeah. I always love to hear people's stories, so definitely.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone all the way to the points about eggs and microwaves.
Oh, did Greg get that taken care of? Did he videotape it for us?
I have yet to see a videotape of that. So, Greg, if you're listening, you know we're waiting on that videotape, the egg in the microwave.
Now, what I'd really like to see is Greg doing the egg in the microwave thing while wearing a duct tape dress.
Oh, yes, the duct tape dress. Well, I think he was really disappointed with that about that duct tape dress, though.
Well, shouldn't it come with a pair of scissors just for Greg?
You know, that wouldn't be so bad. What we'll do is we'll give him the duct tape dress with a roll of duct tape and scissors so he can just patch it like that. How's that work? Well, how about a duct tape kilt? Because he's always wanted to go pantless, so why don't we give him a duct tape kilt?
Now, is he wearing anything underneath the kilt?
See, that was my question too, Jazzy, and I just got a visual that will, that's going to harm me for another month or so at least.
Oh, boy. Yeah, if you can put that kilt on, you're going to have to be well shaven.
Yeah, I think he should wear some shorts under that kilt. That's all I'm going to say. And not little shorts either, some ones that go to his knees.
Oh, yeah, he's going to need that.
Which would actually make the kilt look like a little
home shaving
skirt.
Kit.
Yeah. And what was it? What was the shaving kit he was trying to promote on the show before? He's going to need that shaving kit just to put that kilt on.
Yeah, the Mach 45.
Oh, man. And can you imagine that bad boy just catching the wrong parts? Whew.
Ow.
Oh, yeah.
It hurts thinking about it.
Oh, some people are going to be crying wearing that one. I guarantee it.
Oh, my God. Oh, just a thought. duct tape.
Can you do, can you actually make it? Now, I'm not familiar with these duct tape clothing. It's a real thing, though. This is what's hilarious. It really is a big thing to make clothing out of duct tape.
No, EW, we've been over this. I'm the duct tape expert.
Yes, but I'm curious. Is it sticky on one side, or do they double up the tape so there is
They double up the tape, so you're actually using, like, say you're going to use one roll to make something.
Mm-hmm.
You're really going to need two rolls.
Right.
Because you'll stick tape to tape, sticky side to sticky side.
Okay.
So that you're not.
Yeah, and then it stays together.
Waxing with duct tape.
Yeah.
See, and we're missing the Midnight Spice. I would pull her in so bad right now and let her tell the story. Yes, Alan, I am.
Oh, yes, no.
There's so many uses for duct tape, and she describes using duct tape to wax.
Oh, my God. That just sounds like torture. I'm sorry. Get a bottle of Nair. Jesus.
I think about the movie What Women Want when he goes and does the waxing.
Oh, no.
When he puts...
Do you guys remember that movie Sandra Bullock was in where they had her get the bikini wax?
She was behind.
Yes, and she was behind the thing screaming. That's what it would be like.
EW, Alan wants to know about the duct tape bondage kit.
Yeah, that's exactly it. We're gonna create the TMV Cafe duct tape bondage kit.
Oh, no.
All it's going to do is going to be, it's going to consist of a roll of duct tape and instructions on what not to do with the duct tape.
Oh, my God.
Everything else is up to your imagination.
Yeah.
Are there blow pops involved in the duct tape, too?
We might
put... Duct tape bondage kit?
We might put one blow pop in there.
Okay.
Because...
Yeah.
My kit has to have a blow pop, at least one blow pop in it.
Yes. And there is a warning label on there saying you will need somebody to pull the duct tape.
Yeah. Is there like a suggestion for safe words or something in there too?
You know, I could so go there.
Oh, no.
Armageddon?
I can see it now. Yeah.
Oh, my God, no.
Shall I?
Should
I?
Armageddon.
Should I? Have you heard the Armageddon story?
No, but I'd like to.
Okay. Okay, I'm warning you. Now, if ladies and gentlemen, if you have a child in the room, please remove them for this story, because this is not a...
a child-friendly story.
Yeah, but I guarantee you, we'll... laugh, because, well, let's just say when you hear the story and you hear the code word, it might be your duct tape code word too.
Uh-oh.
So here we go.
The facts from Cooter in Orlando, who sends me a copy of a story that appeared in the Los Angeles Times. He says, a prestigious newspaper, not the oft-maligned Weekly World News. Quoting the story. In retrospect, lighting the match was my big mistake, but I was only trying to retrieve the gerbil. Eric Tomaszewski told bemused doctors in the severe burns unit of Salt Lake City Hospital. Tomaszewski and his homosexual partner, Andrew Kinky Farnham, had been admitted for emergency treatment after a felching session had gone seriously wrong. I pushed a cardboard tube up his rectum and slipped Raggett, our gerbil, in, he explained. As usual, Kiki shouted out, Armageddon! My cue that he'd had enough. I tried to retrieve Raggett, but he wouldn't come out again, so I peered into the tube and struck a match, thinking the light might attract him. At a hushed press conference, a hospital spokesman... described what happened next. The match ignited a pocket of intestinal gas and flame shot out the tube, igniting Mr. Tomaszewski's hair and severely burning his face. It also set fire to the gerbil's fur and whiskers, which in turn ignited a larger pocket of gas further up the intestine, propelling the rodent out like a cannonball. Armageddon! Don't shut. Tomaszewski suffered second-degree burns and a broken nose from the impact of the gerbil. Furnham suffered first and second-degree burns to his anus and lower intestinal tract. Armageddon!
Oh, yeah. There's your code word.
Oh, no.
Armageddon!
So,
sorry, that never gets old.
No, it don't. So if you get the duct tape bondage kit, remember, your code word is Armageddon.
Armageddon.
Now, I admit, this isn't as great as the wonderful thing that happened on the Funky War Pig, but man...
That is pretty damn good, though. I especially like the guy getting the black eye when the gerbil flew back out.
Well, and he says...
Black eye and broken nose.
And broken nose. And he says that the gerbil shot out like a cannonball. So this has got to be bad.
That's one powerful gerbil.
I know. I wonder, did he break all his little gerbil bones when he flew back out like that?
Now, I know we laugh about it, but one thing, you know, animal cruelty, and I know that over time they have definitely been punishing people for it, but you got to admit, the story is hilarious.
The story is hilarious. And I just wonder, who was the first person that came up with this whole gerbil thing?
Oh, see, now you're going to make me... Look it
no,
up
I mean, I know
answer.
Where I've heard some rumors out here about, like, famous people with gerbils, but, yeah,
ooh,
that's
yes,
just...
Yes, I know about those stories.
Yeah. Yeah, we know those stories, you know, but it's just... I don't know. I just don't think of me and somebody else and an animal as being a threesome.
You know, I don't know who would even think of an animal for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the actual act is called felching, and bear with me here for a second, but see, that's the thing. I don't have... In 2003, it was drafted as an entry into the Oxford English Dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I won't go into full details on this. I'm sorry, guys. We're just not that show. But apparently, it was first documented in 1972. I guess
people
that's
people did
how
this that long ago.
No, that story is not from that long ago.
No, not that. No, but people used to do this back then?
Apparently, by what I found out right now, this word literally, well, it could have been longer than that.
Yeah, that was probably the first time people were talking about it.
Yeah, that would probably be the first time they were talking about it. Because what little information I did find, and again, we're not that kind of show. I won't describe what I'm looking at now. But let's just say it wasn't all started with an animal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And this wouldn't be the first time we've had... you know, paranormal subjects on sex because, or, you know, sexual paranormal events because we've had it before. And I actually had a co-host choke on the show when I said what the topic was. So, it was because, you know, everybody knows me. This is one topic I have a hard time talking about. It's not, I'm not saying it's not unnatural. Yeah, everybody does it. So it's kind of, yeah. But to really kind of go out there on the air with it, be a different story for me. I'm not one of those public speakers for that. But
yeah.
But the fact is that when Grey's Anatomy actually came out with an episode where a gentleman actually suffered an injury, we got a large amount of emails asking, is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
And I did it on the show. I actually described it, and we had questions in the chat room if other parts of the body, you know, this kind of mm-hmm. injury could happen to for females. And we were able to answer it on the show as well. So
Was this the thing about the fish and the guy in the Amazon and the fish that got someplace it wasn't supposed to?
No, I didn't know about that. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy, so no. But I'm beginning to wonder, really, what kind of show is this? no, this
you
should
was go watch it.
Yeah, right.
I know, yeah.
No, this
yeah,
was...
that's why we watch it.
Yeah, start asking people, why did you oh, I think I know what the is this the fish, the particular type of species of fish that can swim up a
yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's what it
the rundown yeah. The movie The Rundown with The Rock actually describes that particular fish. So yeah, I know which thanks to yeah. Alan putting it in there.
Yeah, Alan put that in the chat room. Yeah. Thank you.
But yeah, no, this episode was about a guy breaking his penis, believe it or not. Yes,
oh, okay.
I said the word. I didn't say it embarrassingly, but I said the word. But yeah, he actually broke it, and it's called the actual word for it, the medical terminology for it is penile fracture, and it is, for those who question at the moment, is it possible? Yes, it is very possible.
EW has proven it to me. He's shown me pictures.
What?
No, not it. No. Remember you told me to, like, Google it?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Ugh. I told her because she had asked about it before, too. And I said, yeah, you can look. I mean, seriously, folks, you can look it up online. It is.
Yeah. I questioned him. I was like, what? Really? No.
When people challenge me and say, that, you know, is it possible?
Right.
I mean, that was a thing.
You have to prove it.
Yeah. So it is very much possible. So all you guys who just decided to sit cross-legged because you just found out it was possible, sorry, it is possible.
You know what the real question is, though? If you're with a guy and he has this injury while he's with you, does he ever forgive you?
That's a good question.
Now, did you cause the injury?
Right. If you are the cause, then yeah, you're in trouble.
If you are the cause of the injury, do you ever get called again, or does he then pretend like he doesn't know you?
I know you.
Yeah.
I don't think I know you.
You're gonna.
No, really, I don't know you.
And not in the emergency room, he's like, yeah. I don't know who she is. She's not with me.
I know. Oh, and God, don't let it be the poor guy's wife. Because I see a divorce lawyer.
Uh-oh.
Right. Well, during that show, this is where the moment where guys get this sigh of relief. We were actually asked, can a female's breast actually be broken in the same manner?
No.
The answer is yes.
Huh?
What?
Yes.
Unless they're implants, okay, how can you break them?
Well, that was my thought. I actually thought exactly like you on that. Mm-hmm. But the actual answer is yes. And see, what it is it's the muscular area around mm-hmm. the tissues on the inside. And what actually, it's kind of, think of it as a, kind of like
torn
a hernia.
Muscle?
No, think of a hernia.
Oh, okay.
It's something like that.
But wow, your man would have to be really rough.
Well, in the episode on Grey's Anatomy, it was kind of more of him slipping and missing and hitting himself, on a desk or something hard.
No, I didn't mean him, but I mean
if
he breaks your boobs, he has to be, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might want to call somebody on him for domestic violence.
Wow. Yeah. I don't
can
know.
Can I make a duct tape bra and just duct tape myself down?
You Velcro.
Can you imagine calling the police and explaining that? Well, he duct taped me down and then he busted my boobs.
After that episode of Paranormal, we actually had an email sent in to us that I never did talk about. So here we go. I'm going to tell you guys what this email was. It was a headline out of a popular newspaper. It was sent in to us that a woman is suing her man for a broken neck. Now, this I tried to read the article without laughing too much, but apparently they were doing their thing, and she was hitting her head on the headboard.
Ow.
And eventually they just got a little too into their moment, and she actually snapped her neck.
Oh, my God.
And
there's no safe word?
Yeah, at that point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I know. I would have been screaming Armageddon long before then.
I'm sorry. I don't want to hit my head.
Well, the last I knew, the last time I looked, she won the case.
Oh.
So, Wow. Yeah, it's, I guess the judge's idea was this. You guys need to realize when too much is too much.
Well, yeah. If you can hear your girlfriend's head reverberating against the wall or the headboard.
Yeah, that's not one of those. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Look what
I'm. Yeah, not one of those. Oh yeah, but reverberating like, ow, ow, my head is bleeding. It's time to stop.
Right. It is amazing what you get from the listeners. There's a lot of things that you get over time, some crazy stuff, but a lot of things over the paranormal is pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of great things that come in. And we've discussed them over time, and we got more that we can do. You guys are welcome to send in your stories, no matter how crazy they are. I don't think we can get any crazier than that.
I was going to say, it sounds like crazy is welcome, so.
It's fun, though, because, you know, what different people have questions on. And believe it or not, in doing the research on that, there is quite a bit of paranormal in that area. You know, you think about it, you've got the incubus, the succubus, which people talk about. I mean, there's so many different things. There's been stories about people who have been assaulted by ghosts. And
oh, yeah, those stories.
Yeah, so, but there was one, I'm trying to get the person to give me details, a little more details on where they got the article from, so if I ever do get this, I'll share some more about it. But apparently, a lady, and I don't know where the locations or anything, but apparently a lady was assaulted by a spirit, sexually assaulted by a spirit, supposedly. Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't the part that, you know, everybody frowned at. The part that everybody frowned at is she actually had marks, hand marks of, like, somebody holding her down.
Well, if it's a ghost, how could there be hand marks?
That's the part. That's why I want more information on the story. Because, yeah. I mean, right now I could easily debunk. Well, Alan says it was in Texas. So
that explains a lot right there.
What? How's that possible?
EW, what about the people that see, like, those, I want to say poltergeists, the evil spirits, and they get, like, scratches on themselves?
Well, see, and that's another thing. There's been tons of stories about those kind of things.
That's true.
It's very hard to debunk. Now, there has been some cases where they've shown this special powder that you can actually put on and just touch yourself and make it look like you're bleeding.
Really?
Wow.
According to what Alan's saying on the story that we're discussing a moment ago that he says was in Texas, he said allegedly you could see the imprints on her skin during an attack.
Yeah, that's creepy. I say run for the hills. Get out of that house.
Well, if Alan, if you can share us with us maybe where we can find more on that article and stuff, I'd love to look it up and see what all they what all details they have. I mean, you know, some things come to us and it's broken. It's not all together. So trying to do research, it's not as easy. I mean, in this case, if I go to look up, you know, a little bit of what little information I have, I'm not going to get exactly what I'm looking for. Oh, they made a movie about it.
Was that the case in the 70s? Because I remember there was a movie called The Entity or something like that about a woman that was being repeatedly attacked by a ghost. Maybe that was the story.
I
know that was supposed to be based on a true life story, and the poor woman was trying to get help from people, and no one believed her, and she was having scars and, you know, bruises and all these things.
Well, maybe this is what they're talking about. That's what he says. Yeah, he says bingo. So I don't know much about this story. I'm going to have to look into it.
It was a good movie.
I wonder, is it on Netflix?
It probably is. Everything is these days.
Right. We'll have to check into that. I'll have to look into that. Maybe we can get a... he says it's a cool movie. Maybe we can get a show on some things like this. Looking for some experts on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get a show on that.
Yes. That'd be really cool.
Yes, when sex turns very creepy.
that's when you get your neck broken.
Sounds like something we'd get Midnight Spice in.
I know.
Right? At which point we would have to be really big time disclaimer and keep the children out of the room.
Yep. Exit to the left, little ones.
Hey, she has that disclaimer down.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. We're going to teach it to some others, too.
Oh, Gregory.
Some pigs. We're pigs.
But, well, you know what? We're actually over time. I didn't realize that.
Oh, wow.
It's been fun.
Time flies when you have fun.
It does. It does. So, well, real quick, before we exit off the air, Lori, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you at?
Oh, okay. First of all, you can find my work and the work of a lot of other writers as well on my e-zine, which is called Flashes in the Dark at flashesinthedark.com. You can find my personal blog at LoriBeth215 at wordpress.com. And I am also on Facebook and on Twitter as LoriBeth215. So you can reach me a lot of places.
What's the 215 for?
You know, it's funny because when I first got my AOL account, I wanted my number to be something like 18, and it was already taken. So I just came up with 215 as I figured there couldn't be 215 Lori Beths, and it was available. So everything has since then has been Lori Beth 215.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now I just received a message, and I'm kind of curious. So I know the person's listening. Am I allowed to share it? Let me know via the, and I'll be glad to share it. We kind of go a little overtime on that. Okay, cool. I'm told I can share this. Okay. Message came in, says 20 years ago, my wife and I were out. Riding our bicycles when suddenly I experienced a brief dizzy spell. About 3 a.m. that night, we received a call from my mother informing me that my sister's kids had been involved in an auto accident. The kids had gone on a short trip with their dad. On the way home, Dad started getting tired, and in his stupidity, he put the eldest boy behind the wheel.
Uh-oh.
Thinking he has his license and he can drive, not taking into consideration that his son had never driven on the freeway nor driven at night, and also only had his temp license, nor considering that the kids had been up as long as they had been and were just as tired as he was. The oldest son fell asleep while driving, lost control, and the van went into the meridian and rolled. The younger boy was thrown from the van and crushed when the van rolled over him.
Oh.
The accident happened at the same time that he had the dizzy spell while riding his bicycle.
Mm.
Now, this goes back to what we were discussing earlier about the possible psychic links. I mean, this goes to show that this isn't just a motherly intuition. This is,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty awesome. I mean, not the fact that there was an accident. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But the moment that you sensed something happened.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that story.
Wow. Yeah, I do think it can just be someone you care about, you know. Doesn't even have to be a family member, but there's ties to people that you care for.
Well, yeah, most definitely. I mean, you build up a good friendship with people as well, and mm-hmm. they kind of grow on you as a family.
Right.
And you get this bond, you get this connection, I think, in a sense. And, you know, it's sensed.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, that reminds me of a story my mom has always told me about. I have a guardian angel. Have I ever told you this, CW?
I don't think so. I don't recognize it.
Okay. My mom has always said I have a guardian angel watching out after me. And it's my dad's Aunt Lillian. Aunt Lillian and her husband always went down to Arizona for the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was born in May, and they were still down in Arizona. My mom had a very rough pregnancy with me, and so she was in and out of the hospital a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The day before I was born, and Aunt Lillian always knew that my mom was worried about this. The day before I was born, my mom was sleeping in her bed, and Aunt Lillian came to her in her dream
mm-hmm.
and said, "Don't worry, everything's okay. You're going to have a beautiful baby." And then the next day I was born.
Mm-hmm.
And then they found out after I was born, Aunt Lillian came and visited my mom, and Aunt Lillian had passed away when my mom had this dream about Aunt Lillian.
Wow. Yeah.
And so my mom's always said that she's my guardian angel.
Aww.
And made sure that I came safely.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing I would definitely do, and I think we'll have make it a show in the here in the next, maybe next week, talking about guardian angels. Because I can tell you, we've gotten emails over time about that, mm-hmm. about incidences, and oh my gosh, there's some that you just really can't explain. And I understand how science works. They want answers, and if they can't have answers, sorry, I'm actually reading a message just popping up. But, you know, if they can't have answers, then it's not real. And that's what
right.
a lot of people believe on today. And I'm telling you, I've experienced one myself. So, yeah, there's a lot we could go into. So maybe that's what we'll do next week with the Christmas holiday right there. We'll see. We might have a show next week. Not sure. Realizing next week's the 23rd. So maybe not. Here's a little update on the rest of that story. The gentleman said that his sister and her husband were actually going through a divorce at the time, and at the funeral, the dad was more concerned with telling people about the injuries than the fact that he had a son in the coffin inside.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of sad because, you know, It's one of your children that's gone, and
yeah, you don't get that back.
No, you don't. But I wouldn't be surprised if that boy's spirit's around, helping that family out.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, let's I guess call it a night. Remind everybody you can go to TMV Cafe fan page on Facebook and like us, and then keep, you know, get your swirl, get your little journeys in there, and get ready, because we're just like 2 weeks away from 2012, which is supposed to be the stellar year, because according to some, it's the end of the year, or yeah, end of the world.
Yeah, which means you should really party hard this year.
Right? But it's an awesome
year. Wait, we're having
year.
Another rapture?
No, remember the Mayans said that the world ends, what is it, December 21st, 2012?
Mm-hmm.
So, or 23rd, something like that.
Yeah.
Tells you how much I pay attention to that. Anyway, so yeah, get ready, because 2012 is going to be one heck of a year right here on TMV Cafe. We got a lot of great things coming up. More Funky Werepig, more of Flashes in the Dark, and you know, just so many great things coming up. So
yeah, more Midnight Spice, more Paranormal.
Yeah, yeah.
Great new shows, Dangerous Minds.
Some great guests. So get ready for some fun, guys. Y'all have a good night, and we'll see you next time here on Paranormal